At away from Ironbeek, the Magpie brothers and Mangers flew off. Then the Raven General fixed his eyes on Constance.
I will continue to attack you. It is my destiny that I should rule in the great Redstone House.
The Badger gave him back stare for stare.
Others have tried to conquer Redwall, warriors greater than you. We are still here. Right is on our side, justice too. One day our warriors will return home. Then you will be driven off or slain.
Ironbeak was unmoved.
We shall see. You're not as clever as you imagine, none of you. Did it not occur to you that my fighters were not with me to see the exchange take place?
Oh, nuts and acorns.
Ambrose groaned.
I knew the villain had something hidden up his feathery sleeve.
While I was drawing out this business for as long as possible,
Ironbeak continued,
my birds were in your orchards loading up many supplies. I kept you talking long enough for them to make several trips. Your sentries, who should have been guarding the windows facing the orchard, were watching me and Mangers in case we tried something. Anyway, blackbirds cannot be seen flying by night. Also, I must tell you that we have moved down to your infirmary and dormitories. I am conquering this place from the top downwards. Now you are left only with the place called Cavern Hole. If you try to cross the floor of Great Hall after dawn tomorrow, we will be watching from the galleries, ready to attack you. We have all the supplies needed, and you will be held to a state of siege below the floor of this place. You and your friends might think yourselves clever, but you're not wise enough to outsmart General Ironbeak.
The raven shot off into the night sky like a dark arrow. Constance shook her head wearily.
He wouldn't have outsmarted Matthias.
Cornflower patted Constance.
You were wonderfully brave to get us free. We're not beaten yet. As long as we're alive and Redwall stands, there is hope.
She said reassuringly.
We must defend the abbey and keep it safe, especially for the day when Matthias returns with Matimeo. Strange, isn't it? I keep thinking of my little Matty, even at the oddest times.
Constance smiled fondly.
That's because he's your son and you're his mother. Whenever I look at you, I can tell you are thinking of him. Any creature would be glad of a mum like you, Cornflower. Here, what's this? Tears?
Cornflower sniffed and wiped her eyes.
No, I'm just a little tired, I suppose. I hope Matameo is getting his proper sleep, wherever he is.
The trek across the great barren country started at daybreak. Canteens had been filled at the last woodland pool. Supplies were very low, but the shrew cooks had done them proud. Logalog and his scouts had foraged the woodland fringe, and fennel, cloudberry and dandelion, together with some half-ripened hazelnuts, had been thrown into a large communal salad, with the addition of some dried fruit and the last of the cheese. Then a good meal had been eaten, facing the flat expanse of sun-scorched earth. Basil sniffed the dry air.
Useless trying to scent anything around here. Still, the tracks are clear enough. I can see them from here, running off in a straight line. There are a day and a night ahead of us, I reckon.
He stood, stretching his long limbs, gazing out at the already shimmering horizon as it wavered and rippled with the fierce heat.
Right, lads! Quick's the word and sharp's the action, eh? Form up here and follow me. No legging and sitting down on the belly, old job. By the left, wait for it, cheek. Quick march!
The little column trekked off into the unknown expanses of the desert ahead of them, leaving behind the final fringes of Mossflower. Slagar had driven both captives and slavers hard. Marching by night and resting by day, they had crossed the wasteland. Footsore and weary, Matameo and his companions helped each other along. Their mouths were dry and parched from lack of water, their manacles rubbed and chafed. Tess caught Cynthia Bankvall as she stumbled for the umpteenth time.
Up now. Stay on your paws, Cynthia. It's daylight, so they'll let us rest soon.
The vole maid licked dusty lips with a dry tongue.
I hope so, Tess. I can't stand much more of it. I don't know which I prefer right now, a drink or a sleep.
Orma lent her size and strength, supporting them both with a paw at their backs.
Keep going. I can see something ahead, though I don't exactly know what it is. Can you see it, Sam?
The young squirrel strained his eyes.
Looks like some sort of a black shadow, with bushes and trees on the other side of it. Whatever it has to be better than this wasteland. I think they're planning to let us rest when we reach there. Keep going. It shouldn't be too long now.
Distances in the drylands were deceptive. It was gone mid-morning when the slave line halted at the place which Ormer and Sam had sighted. Cynthia Bankvold drew in a sharp breath and clapped a paw over her eyes, then sat down dizzy with fright. They had arrived at the brink of an abyss. A huge rift in the earth opened before them. It was as if the world was splitting through its middle, impenetrably black and endlessly deep. It stretched away in either direction, as far as the eye could see.